Welcome to Canucks Talk / Four Nations Talk here on Sportsnet 650. I am Jamie Dodd. My co-host is Thomas Drance. He covers the Canucks for The Athletic as well. We're broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. This hour of Canucks Talk is brought to you by Rack Steel. You need forklifts that perform under pressure and pallet racking that maximizes your space. Visit them online at racksteel.com. Drance, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, bud. I'm doing well. Nice to be with you and hope that the remote connection is working well today. Smooth as anything.
It sounds amazing. Look at
us. Let's go.
We're doing it.
Miracles.
We're figuring it out. Miracles. Exactly. Yes. We're making it all work. And I'm really excited for the show today at 12:30. We're going to talk to Jesse Granger, your colleague from The Athletic. And of course, Jesse has covered the Golden Knights a lot in the past, but also has really developed kind of the goalie beat at The Athletic. So some Team Canada goalie news that we can get into and discuss with Jesse, and we'll kind of look around at the goaltending situations for the other teams at the tournament at 12:30. And then at 1 o'clock, Ed Jovanovski, former Canuck, of course, and gold medalist with Team Canada at the 2002 Salt Lake game. So we'll get his recollections about being on that team and what it was like to be selected. And, you know, one thing that team has in common with this version of Team Canada is beginning their tournament with a game against Sweden. Of course, in 2002, it didn't go so well, even though they eventually won the gold medal. So we can talk to Jovo about kind of the experience that team had throughout that tournament and eventually now, cresting with the gold medal win.
Now, his final Canucks season coming out of the lockout, right?
Yeah.
We don't really remember it because he only played 44 games. I don't remember what the exact injury was, but he had a pretty serious injury. It was pretty clear that the Canucks weren't going to be able to sign him. But man, 44 games that season, 33 points.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was legit on pace to challenge anyway for a 70-point season. That would have been absolutely, if he'd been able to play, you know, 38 more games that year, if he'd been able to play 80 plus, I think we'd look at that season as like the best non-Quinn Hughes season ever from a Canucks defender. Instead, it goes to Kevin Bieksa's 2013-14, the second president's, no, that's wrong.
2011-2012 would be the second, yeah.
The second President's Trophy winning season. Instead, it's that one. But Jovo's cut short 05-06, I think, should be remembered as like one of the great what-if seasons in Canucks history. He was dominant that year.
Well, Jovo, obviously, I mean, with the West Coast Express, had a bunch of seasons where he was up over 40 points, like challenging 50 points. And then I do think he maybe fell off people's radar a little bit after he left the Canucks, because he goes to Phoenix, and, you know, Phoenix at the time, then Arizona, now Utah. And of course, it's hard to get much more off the radar in the NHL than that franchise when they were still in Phoenix. But, you know, a couple of years after he left, 51 points in 80 games for Ed Jovanovski. He remained very, very productive after he left the Vancouver Canucks as well. So great career for Jovo. And of course, the gold medal, a huge part of it. Yeah, always a pleasure to chat with him. So we'll see how hyped he is for this, and we'll take a look back at his Team Canada experience. That's coming up at 1 o'clock. Looking forward to that. Before we talk to our guests, though, Jesse Granger at 12:30, Jovo at 1. Let's go to the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks, and I suppose for the next couple of weeks, what's up with Team Canada and the Four Nations here on February 11th, and we'll start with the headlines. Last day of practice for Team Canada before they begin their tournament against Sweden in Montreal tomorrow, and we do have some official news courtesy of head coach John Cooper for Canada, which is that Jordan Binnington gets the start in net for Canada tomorrow, and not just for tomorrow. I mean, we'll see how it goes. But the plan, as John Cooper said yesterday, it's not, well, we'll give Binnington one and then we'll give Aiden Hill one and we'll see who we want to go with from there. It's, we're going to name a guy and ideally we will run with him for the rest of this tournament. Of course, only four games max if you go to the final here. So it's Jordan Binnington, first choice. John Cooper expressing a lot of confidence in the St. Louis goalie, and he's certainly hoping that that's it. Jordan Binnington is their guy for the duration of this tournament.
Bit of a surprise, right? I think we would have expected Aiden Hill narrowly, don't you think?
Well, I pitched it when we had Woodley on, I think on Friday, I was like, we expected to be Binnington, right? And both of you guys were like, no, Aiden Hill. I was like, all right, fair enough. I guess I was mistaken, but now it's Binnington. And I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I feel like it transitioned from Hill to from Binnington to Hill at a certain point, and I missed it. But now I guess we're back to Binnington. But I think you go back like 3 months or so, and people expected it to be Jordan Binnington.
Yeah, I mean, I think I always expected it to be Aiden Hill. But, you know, I mean, Binnington is good. He's just a little bit volatile. And I thought that realistically Canada would give, Aiden Hill, the more recent Stanley Cup winner, sort of the first dibs at the gig, but apparently not. And look, I don't think it's a huge difference. I think the thing to criticize Canada for is that really they brought like the fourth, fifth, and sixth highest performing Canadian netminders in the NHL to the tournament. Like that's what we should be talking about as opposed to who's starting game one, right? We kind of know how this works. Like, if he does the job, if they win all the games in the medal round or the round robin round, he'll start, you know, once the elimination rounds begin. If not, they'll try someone else. And that's, you know, typically how it's been, right? Like usually it's been a 2-1, at least during Olympic tournaments, when you've got the preliminary round unfolding and then teams make their decision. And, you know, I mean, we saw Brodeur start twice in Vancouver in 2010, before Luongo took over. Luongo got a start in Sochi, but obviously it was Carey Price's net at that point. So it's not fully like Binnington's going to be the guy, but he's going to get first crack to hold down the job. And, you know, that's fine. I mean, I think the bigger issue is that Logan Thompson's not there. Not that they're picking Binnington over Aiden Hill.
Yeah, there's not a lot to choose from in terms of their stats or anything. Like, there's no magic bullet on this roster for your goaltending questions around Team Canada. And, you know, even going back, we're talking about 2002. Of course, Curtis Joseph starts that game against Sweden, gives up 5 goals, and it's Marty Brodeur's net for the rest of the way in that tournament. So there, the difference here, though, is that, you know, there's so much more room to run in those tournaments. There's so many more games than we're talking about here. And that's why I think John Cooper is saying, like, I don't plan to do a rotation or get another guy in unless the implication there is unless Jordan Binnington's play leaves so much to be desired that it's like, well, okay, we're going to try Aiden Hill here. So a lot on the line for Jordan Binnington going into this one tomorrow against Sweden to kind of put to rest any idea that he's going to come out of the crease and try to show that he can be the guy for the remainder of the tournament for Canada. Because the other thing is, you know, if you have a bad result in one game, all of a sudden you're kind of behind the eight ball to even make the final in this one, to stretch your tournament to 4 games. It's just such a quick, condensed event here. Every game so, so crucial for these teams. Aiden Hill will be the backup tomorrow, which means Sam Montembeault, the third goalie for Canada. And, you know, that brings me to just one of the other things I wanted to throw out here with Team Canada. Obviously, you know, when we talk biggest questions around this team, goaltending is number one. And now we at least have a partial answer to the goaltending question, which is Jordan Binnington will start game one. Of course, the bigger question to answer is how will he actually perform? Will he be good enough for Team Canada to win this event? But that's kind of question number one around this team. But I wanted to throw it to you, Drance. What are some of the other major questions or biggest questions you have about Team Canada on the eve of this Four Nations tournament?
Well, it's got a start and end in goal. Like, I think you've correctly identified that. I think we know that Canada, in a lot of ways, I feel like we thought that we were going to go into this tournament and look at Canada as something of an underdog relative to the United States.
Yep.
And largely that was baked in because of American goaltending. But actually, as a Canucks angle to this, I think the rise of Quinn Hughes as, in my estimation, pretty clearly the best defender, kind of changed it. So it's like, okay, yes, Canada has the best overall attacking forward in Connor McDavid and probably the second best in Nathan MacKinnon. But America would have had the best goal scorer in Austin Matthews, right? A ton of other guys who are absolutely top five contenders in terms of the best forwards in the league, including Jack Eichel, right? The best defender outright, maybe, you know, the third best defender outright in Adam Fox, right? And then the best goaltender without question, and that was looking really imposing.
Well, and maybe the number two Norris candidate in Zach Werenski this year.
Right.
Even if you don't put him right at the top in the top three necessarily, like for this year on form, he's in that conversation, certainly.
Absolutely. Well, Werenski's an awesome player. And they're, you know, Charlie McAvoy on and on. I mean, the American blue line, I think you take over Canada's, but Quinn Hughes made it a different thing entirely. Like now we look at America's blue line and I think it's fair to say something like, I think Sweden's is better. You know what I mean? Like, I think Sweden's blue line group is the one you'd take out of these four teams. Whereas with Quinn Hughes in the mix and you're looking at Werenski, McAvoy, Fox, Hughes, top four, you know, I thought that was advantage America. So, you know, I think more than anything, it's that Canada should be going into this as, you know, honestly, in my estimation, the favorite. And that's partly because you know how I feel about goalies. Sorry, Jesse Granger. But if your biggest weak point is I'm not sure about our goaltending, you're, you know, on any given day, especially when you're talking about players this skilled, the opportunity for the goaltender to make the difference, you know, it exists. But even the best goaltenders as likely to get, or not as likely, but, you know, very likely relative to a normal sort of distribution of a range of outcomes to give you like an 890 game, especially if their team's surrendering high scoring, high volume of chances. So where it sort of comes down to me and to dovetail this with my biggest question about Canada, it's like, we haven't seen best on best hockey since Mike Babcock was the head coach of Canada.
Yes.
Right. So we're seeing John Cooper here and Cooper has brought some of the smartest defensive minds to fill out his staff. Tocchet obviously fits in that mix, but so does Cassidy, so does DeBoer, right? And while I'm not suggesting that Canada is going to abandon the conservative way that the national team has tended to play at every level, including the World Junior level over the years, I am curious to see if Canada looks at this lineup, looks at the relative holes, looks at the skill set of their best players, including Cale Makar,
yeah,
and says, hey, we need to, we're not going to play no event hockey the way we did in Sochi. We need to play a little bit more up tempo. We're not going to not defend. We're not going to be Austria. And kudos to the Austrians. This isn't criticism. I love that the Austrians show up at every international tournament and play run and gun hockey, even though they're outmatched. I think that's the coolest thing you can do as a national team. But I'm curious to see if Canada loosens the reins a bit and tries to actually outscore teams. Because I think they have the skill to do it. I think that's what the roster is built best to do. And by the way, it's a more entertaining way to play. Like, it's something that I think Canada should prioritize more, is leaning into the insane volume of skill players that this country is generating. Not just and honestly, at an accelerating clip in some ways across the last 15 years. Like, do you remember going into Vancouver 2010?
Mm-hmm.
There was this sense that, like, Canada had a lot of great players, but Russia had, like, the artists.
Yes.
Right? Like, it had been a while since Canada had, like, a Peter Forsberg or an Ovechkin or, you know, and since then, in the 15 years since, it's like Stamkos, MacKinnon, McDavid. You know, like, now Canada's the team with the artists, and I think it makes sense to lean into that artistry in terms of the character and feel of our national teams. And as I think the World Junior team, for example, showed us in December, you know, our overall hockey program would be better off, I think, with a re-emphasis or a re-recognition of sort of the extent to which the face of Canadian hockey has changed, with Canadian players now being the top end skill guys, not just your like Mike Richards gritty sort of tier of player.
Yeah, your Ryan Smiths, your Mike Pekkas, those guys, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have to have the Bobby Clark takes out Havanov's knee anymore. We can play the skilled hockey, and I'd love to see this be a step toward that with sort of Cooper enunciating that and sort of translating it through MacKinnon and McDavid and the way that this roster's been constructed.
Well, and I do wonder, you know, Travis Konecny, who was sick yesterday at practice, so didn't skate with the team, he was available today, and he replaced Sam Bennett on the fourth line. So kind of injured, like that is moving the needle in that direction, right? Travis Konecny, I'd say more offensive upside than Sam Bennett if you were trying to replicate the kind of old school Team Canada. Like, we need that really physical, you know, gutty presence. You'd have Sam Bennett in there over Travis Konecny. Not that Travis Konecny is any slouch, right? He's a buzzsaw too. But, you know, if you're trying to read the tea leaves based on just that decision, it points more towards the skill and the speed that you're talking about. And yeah, that question of identity is high up the list for me as well. You know, John Cooper was asked about it today, what the team's identity was, and he said gamers and winners, which I like. You know, I do think that's partly also Cooper like playing his cards close to his vest, close to his chest a little bit, right? Like, I don't want to give too much away here, but I love the idea of pairing. Like, okay, we have this super high-end skill and super high-end speed, and we can play that way, but also up and down this lineup we have gamers and winners, and it almost feels like they have an opportunity to kind of marry those two versions of hockey, or at least update the old Team Canada template without completely throwing it out, but adding on this super high-end skill and speed to it.
Well, Cooper's such a fascinating guy to be here, and I actually think there's a lot that we can read into that winners and gamers comment. And for example, let's look no further than the reaction that we've seen time and time again when Tampa Bay trades multiple first round picks for guys like Gaudreau and Brandon Hagel.
Yeah.
Right? Or overpays, quote unquote, for Nick Paul. Right? And then think about the way that Tampa Bay won. Right? That, first of all, you know, there was an element of that Tampa Bay Lightning team, you know, the triplets line and obviously the 1-3-1 on the power play and the Stamkos era where they played this up-tempo brand run-and-gun hockey, and they had to mature a little bit in terms of their philosophy under Cooper to actually start winning cups. And it wasn't that they, like, brought in enforcers or brought in grit solely, like Coleman, Yan Gord, and Barkley Gaudreau. Those are skilled guys. Brandon Hagel's been enormously productive. It's not just that they brought in like defensive specialists or what have you. They meaningfully have skill, and they actually still play up tempo hockey. They just play up tempo hockey with a level of competitive commitment, right? A level of like dog that I think is reflected in that answer from Cooper. And I find that fascinating in terms of an insight into what he believes wins and what he's learned wins over the course of his lengthy tenure with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah. And it's going to be fascinating to see exactly how that plays out on the ice. We can talk some more about, you know, big questions around Team Canada later on in the show. In headlines, I also just wanted to mention, you know, Elias Pettersson spoke to the media at length after Team Sweden practice today. Of course, he'll feature in that first game tomorrow against Canada. And, you know, really just felt loose, looked like he was having a good time, like he was really happy to be with Team Sweden at this event, acknowledged, you know, hey, it hasn't been my best season, but I'm looking forward, said he was happy with his game against Toronto, wants to build on that. And you really just got a sense, you know, even him reminiscing about watching Team Sweden win the gold in 2006, you know, watching at his grandmother's place and saying he wanted to be Henrik Lundqvist the next day at practice, but he couldn't stop that many pucks. Like just a much lighter version of and a looser version of Elias Pettersson than we've seen in Vancouver with the Canucks this year. And Swedish coach Sam Hallam saying on Elias Pettersson, I think what we saw in him on the ice today was fantastic. He looked good. He looks relaxed and looks confident. I think this is a great opportunity just to get away from your normal situation, find some new inspiration. And it looks like he's done it so far. So positive reports from the Swedish coach on Elias Pettersson, and Elias Pettersson himself certainly looking like, you know, as Rick Tocchet said, try to go there, try to find the joy, try to find that happiness. And looks like he's doing it at least before the tournament has started in Montreal.
Yeah, I'm sure Rick Dhaliwal's playing Black Betty every time he discusses Swedish coach Sam Hlam, by the way.
I'll work through just some of the rest of the things in the whiteboard here. First of all, I wanted to mention as well Canucks prospects Tom Volander and Aiden Celebrini. They win the Beanpot with Boston University yesterday, so congratulations to them. To the lineup notes, just a couple of tweaks for Team Canada at their practice in Montreal today. One kind of interesting, Nathan MacKinnon, who had been lined up on the wing with Sidney Crosby in the middle and Mark Stone rounding out the trio, he moves to the middle. Sidney Crosby slides over to the left wing, so just left wing, I should say. So just a note there. And as I mentioned, Travis Konecny skating on the fourth line with Anthony Cirelli and Brandon Hagel in place of Sam Bennett. So it looks like he will factor in for Team Canada tomorrow. No changes on the defense pairs again. Jordan Binnington will start. Aiden Hill backs up for Team Canada, and both Team Sweden and Team USA declining to name a starting goalie. Team USA pretty clear it's going to be Connor Hellebuck, but Mike Sullivan decides not to name his starter ahead of their first game on Thursday. That's the whiteboard for today. We'll take a quick break here. As mentioned, Jesse Granger from The Athletic, he's going to join us in the next segment here. Talk goalies, Binnington starting over Hill, look at the U.S.'s situation, Connor Hellebuck's recent form, and also the decision for Sweden about who's going to make the starts in this tournament. That's coming up next here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.